Well, good morning, church. Well, I am truly impressed. Ezra, you know, for being an eighth grader like you are, you do a wonderful job. What grade are you in? I knew that. I'm just testing if you knew that. That's amazing. Coming up here and to read. I think the last time you read for me, I also had a whole big section for you to read. So praise God, your willingness to come up and do that. Thank you. You did a wonderful job. I appreciate that, Jim. I appreciate the songs and leading us in that and the service we're having today. God is good. Amen. Oh my goodness, this is wonderful. So I want to give you just a brief update. I talked in Bible class, and that is just, you know, we have our working Wednesdays. And our working Wednesdays, you know, a lot of times, most of the time, it's downstairs writing out cards. And you've probably been the recipient of a card or two or a whole bunch. And so, you know, that phone calls, a chance for visitation, you know, to go visit people and stuff. Just, it's all set up to live the life that we know we're to live. We have Bible studies. We have sermons. It's to put things in practice. And so if you're able to come out, please come out. And my daughter, you know, Brianna, we've been praying for her and stuff. Several cards were written to her, and she was having a rough day on Saturday, but she's trending in the right way and stuff. And she received those cards. And what a blessing. She was talking to my wife and I last night. Just what a blessing. She was just very appreciative of what she had received. And she goes, I couldn't believe it and was grateful. And so thank you. Thank you for doing that, because I know what it does for her and what it does for each of us and what we can, how we can branch out and use it. So Working Wednesday is a time where we just want to take a moment and really have great fellowship and food and just do things that are going to enhance and give all glory to God. So praise God for that, and thank you, and I appreciate that. So today, we're going to make our way back to 1 Timothy chapter 3 we're going to be in. Starting off in chapter 1, Paul warned us about false teachers, and he stated Jesus' purpose in coming in this world. And his purpose was to save sinners. I say that again, his purpose coming in the world was to save sinners. Who's that? Every single person. That's right, brother, us. Every single one. Not just all in here, but every single person. Young, old, black, white, you know, foreign countries near. His son came to save all of us. And then, of course, in chapter 2, we discussed prayer. And Paul emphasized praying for everyone, and that we could hopefully live a peaceful, quiet life. And that's when I went through that, I felt God pushing me to focus on prayer. And so I did spend last month talking about abandonment, talking about fear, talking about big dreams, and us praying about those things. And now, and it's interesting, now we're going to move into this topic of overseers or elders and deacons. And Paul discusses who should exercise the roles over the previous. And what I mean by that is, if there's going to be false teachers and how the church is going to function in an organized, structured way, well, how's it going to work out? Who's in charge? And I mean, in charge, like, oh, I'm in charge, type of thing, but how's it going to relate and give glory to God? And we're going to see that. Now, if I were to ask you this question, and you don't have to speak out loud, but to yourself, I said to you, oh, by the way, today we're going to talk about shepherds and deacons today, you know, go over that scripture. What would your thought be? Well, how would you look at that? You're like, oh, great, I've heard this before. Oh, man, just endure it. Just get through it. It's all right. You know? And I was going to kind of start off with that kind of question, because I think that sometimes that's how we approach that, because it's a topic that isn't so difficult, but it just doesn't, it isn't a fun one, I guess we consider. But I'm going to challenge you a little bit here, give you the pushback if you thought that. And that is this: it's in God's word. Paul says it for a reason. And I'm thinking you're going to see something glorious here, wonderful here, that's going to be really the focus of what's happening. All right, so bear with me, and let's move on, see if this gets me to the next one. Good. All righty. So this next one, I just have up here just three areas. You probably looked at them already and stuff, but take a look at this. This is, these are, I was just searching about like jobs and what people are requiring of these jobs, okay? And the first one's kind of funny. They're all unique. 10 plus years experience for an entry level position. Why would you need 10 years of experience to start off in a job? But that's what they're requiring. The second one, you must be a recent graduate. So if you're a recent graduate, but you also have 5 plus years of industry experience. Well, if you just graduated, how will you get those 5 years? And then, Phil, I thought of you in this one, and that is expertise in outdated or obscure technologies. Who needs to be? I might qualify. I'm not so sure for that. But the fact is that there's some strange qualifications and stuff. Let me talk to you here a second, just briefly about this. So overseers, and we'll talk, and I'm going to define this and get into, you know, what the qualifications are, if you want to call it that. But elders, pastors, shepherds, it's all under that umbrella, that language. In the Greek culture, the word was used for a presiding official in a civic activity or religious organization. And of course, it refers to men who oversees a local church, local congregation. That idea of watching over. And deacon literally just means one who serves. So God desires structure and organization for his church. He doesn't desire stuffiness and rigidness, but he desires that. And if you're paying attention, we go through this, if you're paying attention, you will notice something emerging here. And that is, as we go through the text, you're going to see something very important. And that is, we are going to see that every Christian should be living a life that is one growing. It's dynamic. It's not stagnant. You don't plateau and that's it. You stay right there as a Christian. You know, this is the way I've been for the last 10 years and stuff. If you're that way and you've plateaued and you're okay with that, I'm going to challenge you today to say that's nonsense. That's ridiculous. You need to be growing in Christ Jesus. Amen. You cannot sit back and say, well, I'm good where I am right now. Paul says in Philippians, he says, I press on toward the goal. I press on toward it. Well, how are you going to press on if you're just content? How are you going to press on and move into that relationship that God desires if you're just going like, well, I'm good where I'm at? He wants us to grow. He wants us to move and be dynamic. So verse one of this says this. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires, you know, said it hesitantly, you know that word, right? If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a? Oh, that's good. I like that. So trustworthy. Go through this because I think this verse is so key. It sets it all up. Is able, someone who's able to be relied on, who's honest and true, or a statement or an activity and stuff. It's something that's honest and true. To aspire, to long for, to aim for, to seek ambitiously something greater or of higher value. So he says, this statement's true. It's something that you can, it's honest, it's trustworthy, right? It's honest. He said, if anyone aspires, if anyone who seeks this, if anyone who is yearning after this, that it's a noble task. Noble meaning that it's exalted moral or mental character of excellence, worthy, honorable. It's good. Think about that. If anyone does this, it says, if anyone aspires to this, right? He desires a noble task. He desires a good thing. So if we just skip through this quickly, we're going to miss the beauty of it, because what he's saying is our focus, we need to focus on what Paul says here, because if we're concerned about, like, let's get to what he gets into next in the list, if you want to call it that, we will miss the beauty of what he says here. Why is this so important? Why does Paul place such importance on this? Why does he say that it's a noble task to do this? For we know there's structure in the church. we know it's not a free-for-all and you can do whatever you want and whatever and stuff. So there has to be leadership. There has to be good leadership. And God has a way in which this is to take place. And it's wonderful. So if we do this the way God intends, the church grows and God is glorified and the body of Christ is strengthened. But Paul says it's important that whatever, if someone is seeking after or aspiring after this, he is desiring a noble task. But how many of us want that responsibility? How many of us want that? Because if no one aspires to it, then how do we get things done? How do we have focus and direction? How do we protect? How do we mentor? How do we encourage? How do we function as a body if we are not aspiring to that? See, that's absolutely critical. And it seems that in our culture today, we move in the opposite direction. And so, if we aspire to it, it doesn't mean that we will achieve and get to that, but to go in that direction. It means striving for, growing in your faith and knowledge, and going that direction. Well, let's get into the scripture of this then. So pay attention to what Paul says, and focus on the character. We don't need elders, shepherds, pastors, whatever title you want to give it. We don't need them running for public office like public officials. You know, you imagine, I used to joke with, the elementary school kids when they would run for their office, the fifth graders or the sixth graders. So they'd come to gym class and I'd say, oh, because I know someone's running for president, promise M&Ms for everybody on Fridays, every Friday, because I like playing M&Ms. Like, we're not allowed to say those types of things and stuff, you know? Can you imagine an elder going up from somebody like, yeah, if I'm elder, if I'm the shepherd of the congregation, everything, we'll all get, they're not making promises like public officials. Although, wouldn't it be nice if we had a greater desire to hold public officials to a greater standard? To hold them and say, well, if you're going to be in charge of, you know, you need to have some things taken care of. So this has to do with how one functions personally, how one relates to those around them, how he relates to those outside the body of Christ. The character is important. It doesn't have so much to do with duties, but character. That's what we're looking at here, okay? So therefore, let's get into this. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. Would you like that to be of not just an elder, but a person that you would know? Well, those are good qualifications. Paul says you should be striving towards, you should aspire to do these things. And he says this is the type of person we're looking at. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if anyone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? And that makes sense, doesn't it? And I'm going to go on here. I'll get to some things here. He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. And again, I come back and I say to you, you look at those qualifications and or those character issues and stuff, those are wonderful things, aren't they? Let's get into now deacons and see what he says here. Did you notice I'm not sitting back and defining each one and this and that? We'll talk about the reason why in just a moment. Deacons, likewise, again, these are just servants. And Acts chapter 6, we see deacons being chosen. You know the story in Acts chapter 6 where the apostles didn't want to, it's not that they didn't want to wait on the table. They were called to preach the word. They were called to be out there sharing the gospel. And the Hellenistic Jews were being, the women were being, the widows were being ignored. And so they prayed over and raised up and appointed seven deacons. But it says deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them also be tested first. Let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their house, their children, and their own households well. For those who serve as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, if this is part of God's plan for the function and structure of the church, why does this scare us? Or why don't we want to do this? Paul says in verse 1 that we should aspire for this because it's a noble task. That's what we should be doing. And so let me ask you this. Can you tell me of anything that is horrible or negative or dangerous that Paul gives in this section of scripture? Anything. We would love, wouldn't you love to have a mayor, council people, school board members, state representatives, state senators, U.S. senators and so on, to be of people like this who are showing wonderful character. So why do we put our heads down and we say things like, it's not for me? Is it because of time? Because the reality is that it does take time. It requires a level of commitment. It's not easy, and it comes with lots of responsibilities, doesn't it? But this is what God has designed. It's not Brian's opinion. It's not Steve or Kurt or anyone else's opinion. This is what God says in his word. And the easiest thing to do is just to kind of come, check in, and leave. Come, check in, and leave. But I'm saying, is God calling you for something higher? We are not to be stagnant in our growth, in our relationship. What are we pressing on toward? Or are we just okay? I've been a Christian 40 years, can't teach me anything else. I'm done learning, I'm done doing whatever. If that's the case, then you're done. But that's not what God's word says is okay. See, God has something that is good and necessary, and we just dismiss it. Leadership is critical, and God knows it. And that's why he says, this is what I desire of someone who will be an overseer, of someone who will be a deacon. Sometimes I think we have the approach of Brian Rank. And my approach, I remember years ago, and I think now of it, of what wisdom a person spoke to me, but because of my level of being comfortable, I just ignored it, dismissed it. So this older man at the other church where I attended, he came up to me, and knowing that I'm an elementary phys ed teacher, and it's what my job is, and doing that, and he said to me, you know, Brian, he said, you ought to think becoming a principal. You know, you ought to maybe step up and do that. I mean, and he said, because they need godly men in those areas. And my answer was, oh, that's okay. That's all right. I'm good right where I am. And I do. I love what I did, and I'm comfortable there. But the truth is, as I think about that, was that God using this person to say, there's something greater that I think I have for you? Because I start doing what everyone else does. Plus, I don't do this, I don't do that, I'm not good. As we learned this morning in Bible class, it's not that I can qualify myself, it's God who can qualify me for that as he works through my life, my imperfections, how he transforms me, how he changes me. And so what I'm saying to all of you, and that is, what is God calling you to do? Because as you aspire to those things, not everyone's going to do that. But what does it mean? It means you are growing. You are moving in the right direction. And that is important. And by the way, in order for us, if we were to say, okay, like who is worthy of becoming a deacon? Who is worthy of becoming an elder, a shepherd of God's church? Something so critical because it's a necessary thing. It's an important thing. If that's the case, that means I should be invested in the life of you and you in the life of each other and us, all of us together. Because if I just randomly pick and like, I'm going to pick, okay, I can pick anyone. But what do I know about them? How well do I know them? And if all I ever do is spend time here with them, I will never know them. I'll never know them. But they go out, meet and talk and stuff. So that's your homework assignment. You got to meet with everyone. But that's a good thing to do. I kind of say it half jokingly, but we need to invest in each other. We need to get to know each other, pray for each other, share with each other. We are a church family. We want to function in a way that brings glory and honor to God. And God says, this is a good thing. And why is it? Well, when the false teachers come, who stands up and protects? Who are the ones that know that stuff? Well, I'm aspiring, I'm in training and stuff, but there may be someone further along that's able to do that sort of thing. And that's what we need. Direction, spiritual support and guidance. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing. But this is what we tend to think of. Now, I know you probably, how, can you see that way in the back? Can you guys see that? Denise, can you see that from there? No? Dottie, can you see that? You cannot, Dottie. Sorry, I'm calling Dottie out. I didn't call my wife out because I know better. I'm a smart man, aren't I? Sorry, Dottie's going to hurt me now too. Alrighty, but the reason why I did this, because this is the list. You see the boxes to the next, to the left of it, right? Because that's how we typically do it, don't we? Check, mark, check, mark, check. Oh, self-control. I don't know. Forget about it. Dismissed, dismissed. And we look at it sometimes like that. Well, if I'm aspiring to that, but I fall short in so many categories. We're looking for what God is yearning for, and that is for people of character moving in that direction. So does it mean that every single thing I have to be 100% perfect on? Because if that's the case, I think we're talking about having Jesus come back and walk on water. And I think that's where it becomes scary. So we go like, and that's why I think we make it so difficult because we start checking these boxes ourselves personally or looking at others. What type of character? That's what we're looking for. And lastly, as we get into this, I just have this up here, this because I love it. And it's great. The cross of Jesus. And so you see the cross of Jesus and all that we do and all that we're about, we cannot lose sight. Paul said in the beginning of this that it's a noble task to seek after, to aspire, to become an overseer. It's a wonderful thing. But let me just tell you this thing, and that is not asking, tell you this. That is, it's a wonderful thing to be growing in your faith, in your relationship, in Christ Jesus. Amen? That means reading your word, opening up your Bible, examining the scriptures, praying, being diligent in that, gathering together, inviting, encouraging, sharing the good news with others. It is a dynamic relationship. It is not static. God has called you to grow you, and as you do this, he'll challenge you so many ways. And so we come here today. Listen to what God's word says, but it's all because of that, the cross of Jesus, of what we do. God has a purpose. He has a plan. He has a function for the church. And gone over that and read the scriptures. But I want you to understand that you see the cross of Jesus, and that brings hope, and that brings healing. And in order to grow as a disciple of Jesus, this is important, in order to grow as a disciple, you must become a disciple. That's the first step. And the second thing, and that's once you become a disciple, taking those steps, being mentored, striving to read and grow. But this morning, you can enter into that relationship by confessing your sins, by saying that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and being baptized into Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and that you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, are you struggling in your walk? Are you stagnant? Do you kind of feel uninspired? You open God's word and you're reading like, it doesn't really, it's not doing much for me and stuff. You know, you're here today and you're feeling that. You should seek the prayers of the church, because you need to be willing to grow and learn and move in a good way so that God can use you. God can bless you. So if you're here today and you are struggling with something, you're here today, you may be plateaued in your walk with him, we want to pray for you, we want to encourage you in your walk. Or maybe you're here today and you've not given your life over, you've not surrendered your will to his will. Today is the day that you can start this walk, this journey to aspire to be an overseer. Yes, day one, moving in a direction that brings glory and honor to God. So whatever your need is, you can have that taken care of this morning. If it's salvation, if it's prayers, we want to help you in this journey. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. If you need to respond, please come forward and you can have that taken care of as we stand and sing the song.